Welcome to the Due Diligence, where we analyze today's most compelling early-stage investment opportunities. I'm Alex, an investment analyst, and we have a fascinating pitch on the table.
Okay.
A licensed New York cannabis cultivation center.
And I'm Dr. Sarah Chen, a cannabis industry expert. It's a pleasure to be here, Alex.
It's great to have you.
New York is the market everyone's watching.
Absolutely.
So I'm eager to dive into this.
Let's start with the big picture they're painting.
Let's do it.
The pitch opens with the New York market opportunity.
Right.
A sector already topping $2 billion with a blistering 53% year-over-year growth.
Wow.
And what really stands out to me is the average item price. Nearly $32.
That premium pricing is what makes New York so attractive.
Yeah.
It's a signal of high demand and, for now, limited supply. Now, I appreciate that the pitch grounds this massive opportunity using a TAM-SAM-SOM framework.
Right.
They've identified a realistic revenue target of $6.25 million to $12 million.
Mm-hmm.
From an industry perspective, that feels achievable, not speculative.
So that brings us to the core question. How do they plan to capture that slice of the market?
Okay.
Their primary competitive advantage seems to be that they are already a licensed operator.
Which is huge.
Sarah, in a market like New York, how significant is that?
It's the crown jewel of the entire pitch.
Right.
The deck correctly states that new applicants face a 9 to 18 month regulatory gauntlet.
Oof.
This company gets to bypass that entirely. That isn't just a time to market advantage. It's an 18-month head start on revenue, brand building, and establishing relationships with dispensaries while competitors are still buried in paperwork.
A powerful moat, indeed.
So, from your perspective as an analyst, Alex, how do you value that head start?
It de-risks the investment significantly.
Right.
Regulatory approval is often the biggest hurdle. With that cleared, the focus shifts to execution.
Exactly.
And on that note, I'm intrigued by their dual facility strategy. A 10,000 square foot production hub paired with a 2,500 square foot micro facility in Queens.
That's a sophisticated approach.
Isn't it?
The large facility is the engine churning out profitable high volume strains.
Yeah.
But the Queens micro facility is their innovation lab. It's where they can develop proprietary genetics, test new products, and respond to the nuanced tastes of the NYC market. Without disrupting their main production line. So it's a smart blend of scale and agility.
Let's talk about unit economics. The pitch claims they can wholesale flower for what, $1,500 to $3,200 per pound?
Okay.
That's far above the national average of around $1,100. So what enables that confidence?
Two things. The premium New York market, which we've discussed.
Right.
And their projected operational excellence. The deck details yields of 2.5 pounds per square foot, over 40% higher than average.
Wow.
And rapid 8 to 10 week harvest cycles. If they execute on that, they can produce the kind of consistent, high-grade flower that commands top-tier pricing.
This is where the story gets really interesting for me.
Hmm.
They have two powerful strategic differentiators. First, kosher certification.
Okay.
Sarah, is that just a niche play?
On the surface, yes, it targets New York's 1.6 million Jewish residents.
Right.
But its true value is as a trust signal for the general population. In a market flooded with products, a kosher certification is an immediate, recognizable mark of quality, purity, and rigorous third-party oversight.
I see.
Concluding, it's a brilliant way to build a premium brand identity.
So it's a quality standard disguised as a niche.
Exactly.
That pairs powerfully with their second differentiator, a pain management focus built around the slogan, "Say no to morphine, yes to cannabis."
Exactly. And that operational excellence you mentioned, Alex, is what makes the kosher certification more than just a label. It's backed by a clean, controlled process. The pain management angle elevates the brand even further. They cite data showing cannabis can help 97% of patients reduce opioid intake.
97%?
By tackling the opioid crisis head on, they're creating a brand with a profound social mission. It's not just recreational, it's restorative.
So let's tie it all together with the financials.
Okay.
They're asking for $3.5 million in a Series C round.
In return, they're projecting $6.25 million in annual revenue at full capacity, with an impressive 12 to 20% EBITDA margin, even after factoring in the punitive 280E tax code.
Right.
For investors, they're targeting a 3 to 5 times return on capital. Sarah, does that stack up?
The numbers are ambitious, but they're supported by a clear, multi-pronged strategy.
Okay.
The combination of the regulatory head start, the operational efficiency, and those unique brand differentiators, it creates a plausible path to achieving those returns. It's one of the more thoughtful cultivation pitches I've seen.
I have to agree. The investment thesis is tight.
Yeah.
They aren't just selling a commodity. They're selling speed to market, a trusted brand, and a social mission.
Right.
All within one of the most profitable cannabis markets in the world. It's a compelling narrative.
So now here's a question we'd like you to think about. In a rapidly maturing market like New York cannabis, what holds more long-term value, being the first to market or being the first to build a truly trusted, differentiated brand? This pitch makes a strong case that you can and should aim to be both.